Previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
I'm telling you, you guys, it's perfectly fine to eat a burrito from a truck stop. I don't know what you're complaining about.
The can was not made out of tin anymore. It's aluminum, but I like saying aluminium.
That UPS guy totally waits until 7:55 to come up my block. I've seen him sitting around the block.
That was a phenomenal episode. Strickland was still sick back then, too.
I made a terrible decision.
So, let's introduce ourselves before we all die.
Okay.
I'm not Jonathan Strickland.
I'm not Jonathan Strickland either.
I, however, am Jonathan Strickland.
So, what's the story, Jonathan? You sound a little lethargic, and I don't mean to have a smile on my face. I really do feel bad for you. I just usually end up making jokes when bad things happen.
So about a couple of weeks ago, I caught a really bad cold. And I was starting to feel better Monday of last week. So I went into work because I had to shoot some videos. And I went in, shot some videos, and then immediately got way more sick. And managed to work through it on Tuesday. But then on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, I was just I was useless. So I actually, despite it being a half day, I had to call in a sick day. I just couldn't do it. Started to recover, went back in this Monday to shoot more videos. And then Monday night came home and came down with a case of food poisoning. So now I have a cold and food poisoning. Yesterday was one of the worst days of my life as far as my health goes. It was absolutely dreadful. I had a fever. I was unable to even think about food without feeling nauseated. So sunny days. How are you guys?
I got nothing to complain about now.
Yeah, compared to that, I'm doing fantastic.
I've had food poisoning once, and I was like in a hospital for a day because I didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah, I actually thought that I might need to go to the hospital because I was barely even able to drink water. You know, I was drinking some water and then occasionally taking a sip of Gatorade because that's essentially what you're supposed to do, you know, to keep your electrolytes going. But you're not supposed to like chug Gatorade or anything. So I was doing that, but even that was difficult for me. And until late last night when my fever broke, I was pretty sure that if it had continued, I would have had to go to the hospital today because that's how bad it was. But fortunately, the fever broke, and I was feeling a little bit better today, and I actually managed to eat something. After I think it was about 40 hours of not eating, I was finally able to eat something, and now I don't feel like I'll ever eat again.
What was the first thing you ate after not eating for so long?
Are you going to make me say this?
You can choose not to.
It was a horseradish burger from the Vortex Bar and Grill with tater tots and cheese dip.
You go back full steam ahead.
Dude, I was hungry. I hadn't eaten for 40 hours and my appetite came back all at once.
And that agreed with you, though?
Define agreed. I kept it down.
It did not give you a second instance of food poisoning.
No. But at the same time, like I made sure I didn't eat the whole thing because that would have definitely been bad. But I'm not hungry now. So I mean, I ate that at lunch, like at noon. So it's 9 p.m. on the East Coast as we're recording this. So I have no appetite right now. I can't even imagine eating something. But I mean, it was just weird. Like when when I woke up, no appetite at all. Like food just wasn't even an interest to me. And then, as I was sitting, watching TV, it just hit me all of a sudden. And along with my appetite came the craving for something extremely specific.
So Eric, have you been poisoned recently?
I was sick a couple weeks ago, but that's about it. Yeah. Actually, I had kind of the same thing for about 2 days. I couldn't eat. It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it's not fun. No. Because, you know, then, of course, your energy drops. And you know, I like I said this morning, I was feeling the fact that my fever had broken meant that I felt worlds better, even though I wasn't feeling healthy. The difference between yesterday and today was so dramatic that just by not having the fever, I was feeling better. And so I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll try and do some stuff today, you know, little stuff, not go crazy or anything. But just the act of going to lunch exhausted me.
So I guess that leads to another question. What do you guys do when you're sick and just can't do stuff? Because you're both very, like, do-stuff kind of guys. So what the hell do you occupy yourself?
I this tells you how sick I am. Or I you know, I've got two dogs, and usually I just cuddle up with them on the couch and watch stuff, like if I'm not feeling well. But I was so sick that I put them both in their little kennels, and then I went back to bed. And I don't have a television in my bedroom or anything. I went back to bed because I was so miserable. I couldn't sit on the couch. The couch wasn't quite soft enough for me to be comfortable on. So I was just like, I gave up. I did, however, bring my laptop with me, and I watched the first few episodes of American Horror Story, which is on Netflix now.
I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, Netflix is like I think that's the basics when it comes to being sick. I know the last time I was sick, I was laying on my side. I took my laptop on the nightstand and turned it 90 degrees just so I could look at it properly. That's all I did. I would just watch awful things, fall asleep, and wake up and go, oh, that episode of Friday Nights is over. We got to do do it again.
I need some clarification.
Yeah.
Did you watch awful stuff and you fell asleep, or did you watch awful stuff fall asleep?
Then I fell asleep. I'm really bad with prepositions. And
just like turn on like some sort of like rabid possum, and you just watch when it gets tired and curls up and goes
to bed. Would be an interesting program. I bet it's probably on Netflix somewhere. But
awful things falling asleep?
Yeah, why not? Like, oh, it's so peaceful now. That could be what.
Pretty sure it's a Showtime series.
It's so peaceful now. So this is the perfect after Thanksgiving episode.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Good. I had Whole Foods, like, make everything, and then I had to reheat everything.
See, I did the same thing, except in my case, Whole Foods was my mom.
Is this some kind of like Atlanta franchise I don't know about?
No, my mom is not franchised. How dare you, sir? She's a saint. What happened was the day before Thanksgiving, that Wednesday when I was feeling all, you know, exhausted and sick and with my cold and everything, we had prearranged that we were going to meet up with my parents, and originally it was going to also be my sister and her husband, at a restaurant that is a local fixture in Atlanta. It opened in 1927. It's called The Colonnade. We were going to eat pre-Thanksgiving dinner there because it just didn't look like anyone's schedules were going to allow us to meet on Thanksgiving Day itself. And Mom took it upon herself to actually cook us a Thanksgiving dinner in addition to the one we were already eating so that we could take it home and heat it up the next day for Thanksgiving. Which was amazing. I mean, the food she made was phenomenal, including like fresh baked bread and all this kind of stuff. It's really good. However, the Colonnade, if you ever want to really embrace your youth, go to the Colonnade, because I think most of the people who were eating there were there on the opening day in 1927 when the restaurant store.
Wait, you had multiple Thanksgiving meals on the same day?
No. We had a pre-Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday night. My mom gave us the food for Thanksgiving, and then we came home and you know, the next day we heated up the food she had made for us. And that included my favorite dish my mom makes. Well, it used to be a lasagna when I was a kid, but now it's squash casserole that she makes. And it's just like phenomenally good. And it's gotten to the point now where, like, my parents still like to do stuff for me for my birthday, so I just tell her, like, well, just make a squash casserole and put some candles on it, and that'll be fine.
How was yours, Eric?
It was pretty good. I didn't really do much. I worked the day before and the day after, which was actually kind of awesome, because I just made a bunch of leave and left at noon. So, all in all, pretty good. I didn't eat anything amazingly fantastic, I don't think. But then again, Friday I didn't go shopping, so I considered that a success.
Yeah, did you do any shopping, Ayaz?
I had to pick up the pre-cooked meal, and it was a madhouse like at 4 o'clock.
Was that Wednesday or on Thursday?
This was on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so I don't even want to imagine what it was like on Thursday. I didn't go out. I'm like, I don't have the patience for humanity as is, let alone on a day where people are less than pleasant because they've been dealing with relatives all day.
Yeah, my heart goes out to anyone who works retail during the week of, you know, Black Friday and all that stuff. It's just, I can't imagine coping with that.
Funny now too, because it is the week of Black Friday. It is no longer Friday.
It's the following week too.
Yeah.
Right? Because the next week is the week of Cyber Monday. I mean, Amazon's got Cyber Monday deals all week as well.
Yep.
I didn't go anywhere for shopping. I was tempted at one point by Best Buy because they had a pretty good deal for an Xbox bundle that was a 250 gigabyte Xbox for like $200. And I've got an Xbox, but mine has got a much smaller hard drive and it's almost full. So when I got, you know, I bought Halo 4, when I loaded that up and I wanted to play multiplayer, it required this like 2 gig download, almost 2 gigs. And I had to actually delete stuff off my hard drive so I could play multiplayer Halo and listen to 10-year-olds curse me out. So I was thinking about getting a new Xbox that would have a much larger hard drive and transferring stuff over. But eventually I talked myself out of it because I know that, or I suspect that Microsoft will be coming out with a new console next year. So I might as well wait and just get that. And hopefully that'll be backwards compatible.
Yeah, that also stopped me from buying an Xbox. My old Xbox is all busted. It has one of those trays that if you can replace the band, the rubber band, it can kind of work. And then it only works if you got a paper clip and all these other ridiculous if situations. And so knowing, or at least rumored knowing, that there's going to be a new console next year, it just stopped me from buying one, even though they're like $220. But there's no reason to get it, especially when the next version is supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I did, however, buy some stuff online. I bought three video games, which I bought them, and they should have been here a couple days ago, and they still haven't arrived, so that's kind of upsetting. But I did buy also the Red vs. Blue 10-year and 10-year edition with the 14 Blu-rays, because Amazon had a crazy deal. The thing, it's normally $140, because it's a 14 disc set, and I got it on Amazon for 66% off. So
wait, which thing was this?
The Red versus Blue 10 season box set on Blu-ray. And I was like, that's a crazy deal. I'll pick that up. And I mean, I'm a big Red versus Blue fan anyway, so it was kind of a no-brainer. And it's got like 8 hours of bonus footage and stuff on there, so I'm excited to crack into that eventually.
Like, I had to stop myself from buying The Twilight Zone again. I mean, The Twilight Zone on Blu-ray, I saw it once for like under $100, the whole damn series, and I turned it down. And then it was available again, this time, for like $120. And I'm like,
see, here I thought you meant that you had to stop yourself from buying it a second time.
No, I had to stop myself from buying it at all.
Everything you say, I am misinterpreting.
That's completely fine.
You like to watch awful things fall asleep, and you keep buying The Twilight Zone.
I keep buying it. I just can't stop buying it. It's just like the way I buy Beatles stuff.
I'm pretty sure that's an episode of The Twilight Zone. The guy just keeps buying the same thing over and over. It's not particularly scary. It's just
annoying.
Just weird.
It's just a guy keep hitting one click over and over again.
That's
it. Push it. It just has no short-term memory. That's a real problem.
Yeah, I bought about $200 worth of razors.
Yeah, I saw that. You bought like $100 that was one razor.
That was one razor, yeah.
You bought $100 razor.
I did.
Wait, we're talking about like a blade to shave your face, or are you doing like you're buying old phones? What are you doing?
No, we're talking about a straight razor, a blade with which he will remove hair from his skin.
Yep.
Wait a second. Now
$100.
How is this crazy? This is not crazy. That blade will last forever. Think about it. If you shave with a cartridge, right?
Yes.
You're going to make up those $100 in what, 3 months? 5 months?
How often do you shave? Are you like a mountain man?
I shave that. Every day.
I shave my whole freaking head, and my cartridges last forever.
Well, I don't know. Mine don't.
Also, maybe, but see, Eric's beard here's is the mad problem. As... Here's the problem I have. you and I, we don't have the baby soft skin of a Sandine.
Is it baby soft, or he has like the hairs that are like redwoods that he needs freaking well, $100 soft steel?
Now, so I knew you. So now it's, I use, you know,
it's baby soft with redwoods. See, it's the deadly combo. It's that southwestern mix that you know we all have heard about.
That is right. Definitely. This is apparently
he gets 5 o'clock shadow at about 11 a.m. So
sometime around there, but that's still shade like for 1 o'clock your time. So.
Provides shade for all the woodland creatures on his face.
Good grief! Yeah, see, I don't know. I would never trust myself with a straight razor. I know that I would end up like an ear short within the first week of using it.
You get used to it. I mean, I've been using them. You know, I relatively stopped cutting the hell out of myself. So.
I actually cut the heck out of the top of my head not too long ago with just a regular, you know, safety razor. I ended up carving out a little divot on the top of my head. I can feel the scab right now. It's rare when I do that. If I do, it's at the very top of my head, or sometimes if I'm being careless, I'll nick an ear.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How do you...
I'm not looking forward to this at all. Like, I know I'm going to lose my hair.
I'm in the shower doing it. I can't see what I'm doing. And occasionally, like, you know, I'm just not paying attention. You know, I'm kind of going through the motions, not paying attention, and I'll nick an ear. Those ears will bleed forever, by the way.
Okay, wait a second. Now, you've got a blade to your head, and you're not paying attention?
If you do this all the time, Ayaz, you eventually stop paying attention. It's just like, look... You can sit there and express surprise. I have seen so many people get behind the wheel of a car and just check out. That's behind a 2,000-pound death machine. Okay?
But what?
And you're on the road with lots of other people who are also in 2,000-pound death machines, and they're also checked out. So don't get on me like I'm the only person who has ever not paid attention while doing something potentially dangerous.
I don't know if anybody should be doing it. That's my point. It's not so much that...
I don't think anyone should be driving either, Ayaz. I'm glad we got into this.
Nobody should be driving and shaving their head at the same time. That's what I've been saying for the past 10
years. You don't
have
to worry about that. Now, I do occasionally shave on public transportation, but that's because, you know, sometimes I wake up and I realize I don't have time to do it at home.
With an electric?
What? No, dude, that doesn't close enough.
All right, he just lathers up his head on the bus.
I don't lather either.
You bring your own... What, like a fishbowl?
Shave soap or...
Nope.
Is that a thing? Shave soap?
Yeah.
For me, it's just the razor and the water, baby.
You're hardcore. That's why you removed that ear that one day.
Yeah. That one wasn't mine, though. Yeah, It was, you know, Mick Foley's ear.
Should not mention
shout out
like
to
that
hardcore legend.
On air. Now we're going to bleep out that entire thing. You're going to take credit for the ring ropes? That took part of his ear off.
Do you remember who he was wrestling?
Vader.
Yeah, really well done.
I read the book.
Yeah. Yep. One of the games I got not too long ago. And this is obviously not one of the ones that I was waiting on because those still haven't arrived. I got WWE 13, as in 2013.
How was it?
I start. It's good. It focuses the storyline part focuses on the Attitude Era of WWE. So it's all the big storylines of like Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon and The Rock becoming the corporate champion and all that kind of stuff. So you actually play through the historic matches throughout the history of WWF at the time. And the way it works is that to unlock stuff, you have to not only complete the matches, but you have to fulfill certain historical events within the match. So for example, if you're wrestling... in the Hell in the Cell match, and it's Undertaker versus Mankind, you have to throw Mankind off the cell, and then you also have to choke slam him through the cell in order to win. So, because I mean, you can win the match without completing the historic objectives, but then you don't unlock the extra stuff. And I thought it was a cool mechanic. Although I will say there was one match in particular that was ticking me off, not because the parameters were particularly difficult, but because the controls are just clunky enough to make it harder than it needed to be.
How are the physics in this game?
They're okay. The object physics are a little wonky. The collision physics are not terrible. They're not the best I've ever seen in a wrestling game. But in general, they're okay. I mean, it's a lot better than some of the other wrestling games I've played. My favorite wrestling game remains WrestleMania 2000 for the N64, which, you know, to these days, of course, the graphics are really seriously dated, but the gameplay was phenomenal. And the create a wrestler mode where, you know, you could customize your wrestler's moves to such a crazy extent, because the way they had it was that I think it was B was punch and A was grapple. But every time you grappled, you could do a different direction plus mm-hmm. a button to make a different move. And you could customize every single variation of that. And so you could, you know, make a wrestler who was like a mat technician or a high flyer or, you know, a brawler or whatever. And I used to love doing that. This one, the create a wrestler mode looks, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone who's watched wrestling over the last 10 years, but it pays way more attention to how your wrestler looks than to how your wrestler wrestles.
I'm trying to think. Eric, are you into wrestling at all?
Nope. Not my thing.
Completely lost on you. Do you want to actually explain the story of what happened to Mick Foley's ear?
Okay, so it was in a match with Vader, and Mick Foley had this crazy move that he would do occasionally where it was a move that he would do when someone was throwing him against the ropes, and it was a move that would be super dramatic and scary for everybody, including Mick Foley, and it was to make his opponent look super, super dangerous. What he would do is he would end up halfway diving through the ropes and then flipping over the ropes so that his head would get twisted in the top two ropes.
I see.
They'd twist around gripping his head. And on this one particular match, they had tightened the ring ropes so much that he didn't have the give that he normally would have in order to be able to not die, which is a technical thing that wrestlers like to do. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up, when he finally got his head free from those ropes, he lost half an ear. Tore half his ear off.
It's really noticeable when he cuts his hair off, but he normally has very long hair, so you don't see it. But these are the dangers of professional wrestling, and because that guy was nuts, though. But the main point was that Jonathan Strickland did not cut off Mick Foley's ear.
No.
We wanted him to admit that he did not cut. Well, the Mick Foley's ear. He might have cut somebody else's.
Not that ear.
It was a different Mick Foley.
It was a different ear.
Just running around. That would be a very frightening thing. An ear remover. It's like, not even killing people, just taking ears off.
It's a growth industry. Wow, that killed the conversation right there.
I was now thinking about you removing growths.
Okay.
That also got me to be very quiet.
That's a solemn topic of discussion. Well, okay, what are you guys watching these days? Like anything?
Oh, I've been watching Little Mosque on Hulu.
Oh yeah?
A Little Mosque on the Prairie, that one?
Yeah. It's a Canadian show. No, I think it actually is called Little Mosque. I think that was the Canadian show.
Yeah, I used to watch that on I don't know what channel it was, but when I had cable.
Yeah.
Pretty. What do you think of it?
It's all on. It's all on Hulu. For free. You don't even need Plus. But I'm pretty amused. I think it's a show that actually probably just could not be made here. Not yet, at least.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you.
There's no way.
It's. Yeah, I don't even know where to start with that. Actually, you ever watch the show Aliens in America or Alien in America? It ran Well, you have or you haven't?
I haven't.
It was about a Pakistani exchange student who lived with like a Midwestern family, and he was like the most normal. And it actually was quite a positive look at this guy versus him being like, oh, the fish out of water. He's like, no, it's everybody else is weird. It was an interesting program. It ran for like a season or two. I think the kid was on Cougar Town. He was like the lead. The lead non-Pakistani guy.
Yeah.
And the guy, he's on the Rules of Engagement now, the guy who played the kid. But I don't think anybody watches that show here. It's an awful, awful show. I'm watching Ink Master a lot. That's a
oh yeah.
That's a competition tattoo show. So like think Top Chef, but just do it with tattoo artists. And I was just fascinated with the concept because, like, they are tattooing on what they call human canvases. So they bring in people, and they will tattoo them. So when somebody does something really bad, you get to watch their critique, and they're like, "Well, this is on somebody. You drew this awful devil or skull on this person, and it's, they have to walk around with this.
They have to live with that, yeah."
And I just couldn't believe this was the basis of a competition show, because what if they suck? Like, it's on somebody.
So. Well, I've currently got a pitch in for the next step of that kind of competition show.
What's that?
Which is Ink Masters meets Wipeout.
While they're running?
Yeah, while they're navigating a complex obstacle course, they must tattoo a person flawlessly.
I think it's doable. I think that sounds. It sounds like a Spike thing waiting to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, Ink Master is on Spike.
Yeah, I think it'll be a. I think it'll be a big hit. No, I like I said, I was watching American Horror Story. Did either of you guys watch that?
I don't. Know.
I haven't.
It's you know, it's a little. I wish it were better. I'm having problems with it. It's paced oddly, and it's hard for me to tell. Like there are things that happen within episodes that you think would be monumental enough to affect characters' behavior moving forward, but then the next episode it seems like all of that is completely forgotten, and I can't tell if that's on purpose or just bad writing. Also, it you might as well call it for season one. You might also call it Dylan McDermott's butt.
Okay, is that a cute pet name you have for one of your dogs or what?
No, that's Dylan McDermott's butt shows up in a lot in that series.
Good to know. The, what was that?
The only nudity so far, but it's all him.
Anybody watching The Walking Dead?
You know what? I started it, and Becca and I watched, I think, the first 3 or 4 episodes of Walking Dead, and we just haven't gotten back to... Yeah. We enjoyed it. We just haven't gotten back into it.
I got about halfway through season 2. I started playing the video game, though, which apparently one of my friends said is written very, very well.
But you don't know because you've been playing and you can't tell?
I haven't finished it yet. I've only gotten through the first episode.
Okay.
Yeah, I kept seeing...
My friend tells me it's really well written. Yeah. I, however, have no opinions of my own. And
I kept seeing the reviews for it. They kept calling them episodes, and I was confused because I thought it was for the TV show. And I was like, oh, it's a game. Why are they in episodes?
Yeah, I see a lot of the people I follow on Twitter are playing it.
Don't these people have things to do, like be poisoned?
They have things to do, like play The Walking Dead and then post about it on Twitter.
Some people get paid to do that kind of stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
People get paid to do frivolous things. They should be should be removed from
I'm definitely not getting paid to have food poisoning.
You're not?
That's just
yet.
You don't have leave?
It's just an added bonus.
Wait, your food poisoning wasn't sponsored? Mine was sponsored by Subway.
Sponsored by Whole Foods.
That part of the,
you had eaten at Whole Foods, you wouldn't be dying right now.
I think on that note, we should take a look into the future and see what's going to happen next week on Podcast Without Pretense.
I'm telling you guys, all right, fool me once, shame on me, yeah. But this burrito is different from every other burrito.
You know, I thought that the cop would thought it was humorous when I took his sunglasses off his face and touched his nose and said, boop. But you know what? Didn't work out that way.
So I got the razors in. You know, I'm pretty sure that part of my ear will grow back.